hey guys, so I recorded the first half of this podcast, which actually talks about the NFL free agents and the offseason with Shil Kapadia on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we've got some breaking news, which is, of course, Denver trading for Joe Flacco. I laugh because when you get to the part where I talk about Joe Flacco and the possibility with of a trade with Shil, well, I laugh a lot, so you'll hear that. But it happened. Just quick thoughts on that. It is kind of unsurprising in a way. Elway's obviously struggled in his tenure at GM in drafting, developing, choosing quarterback. Pretty much the entire quarterback position has been an issue with him. So in some ways, I think it kind of makes sense that he would go for a guy that he probably views as having a baseline level of competence, right? Although, when you look, a lot of people pointed this out, but when you look at his statistics compared to Case Keenum's over the last few years, they're pretty much the same. And that's why I really don't like the trade for Denver more than anything. Not just because I don't think Joe Flacco has a ton of upside over Keenum, but because those two guys combined take up like $28.5 million on the 2019 cap. And they don't have, you know, a young rookie that they're going to go to, who knows what they'll do in the draft. But it just doesn't seem like a good allocation of resources to me, even if you do get a slight bounce back season from Flacco, who was not great last year in sort of his limited outing. So those are my thoughts on Flacco. I guess congratulations to the Ravens for getting a return on him. I heard a fourth, but I'm not sure that's been confirmed again. And yeah, they're doubling down on Lamar Jackson. So that's it for now. And here's the rest of the pod. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Hello. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show, or welcome if you're a first-time listener. The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. I hope you didn't hear that. I left them off. The only NFL podcast where one of the hosts is all bark and the other one is all bite. You guys can guess who's who. I am joined today, really the first true off-season week, it feels like, because last week we're still in Super Bowl mode and on the high of the game or the low of the game after this particular Super Bowl. But today we now are fully amidst in like Antonio Brown tweeting hype videos of himself part of the news cycle, which is where I want to live. And I am joined by a person who's perfect for this week, my friend Shil Kapadia, who writes for The Athletic, where he covers the Eagles. Shil's one of the best NFL beat reporters I know, and he's also really good luck. You know that, Shil, right? You're like a good luck charm to every team you cover.
That has been the case. It wasn't the case for a short period of time, and I got to Seattle, as you know, after they went to the Super Bowl. But I think coming to Philadelphia and then winning that first Super Bowl, yeah, I'll take that as a description.
You need to go to like Cleveland or Cincinnati or Carolina. Like I'm surprised that the teams aren't recruiting you to cover them, knowing the good fortune that you bring to them. And certainly have brought to Philadelphia, which is a big part of the reason why I wanted you on today. Because so today is going to be a two-part podcast, guys. The theme is quarterbacks. So first we've got Shil on to talk about, just free agents, potentially the trade market, teams that need quarterbacks, the offseason in general. And then in the second half, I will be joined by the shipping container from the Dan Le Batard Show to talk about existing quarterbacks. And suffice to say, Shil, you will be carrying most of the intellectual labor for this podcast.
I will do my best.
Listen, speaking of labor, well, no, actually, there's no transition for labor. Speaking of intellectuals, well, no, that doesn't really work either. I wouldn't really call him an intellectual. All right, I brought you on mostly because I want to talk about Nick Foles. So, and the other stuff. Obviously, you cover the whole league. But, you know, Foles is sort of the crown jewel. Who would have thought in 2015 that the words crown jewel and Nick Foles would be used in the same sentence? But here we are. To me, he's kind of, I don't know if he'll be the first domino to fall in the QB market or the QB offseason, but he's the most desirable, wouldn't you say?
I think so, yeah. You know, just looking at this market, it is terrible. If we're just being honest, it's a terrible quarterback market. This is not the offseason to be looking for a guy to sort of be your franchise quarterback. for the next 3, 5, 7 years, whatever the case may be. And, you know, that is often the case, I guess. When you have a really good quarterback, you don't let him reach the market most of the time. But I think probably what separates Foles from a lot of the other guys is that the upside is there, where, you know, I would probably say he's maybe, I think I would rank him between like the 17th and 20th best quarterback, maybe, you know, somewhere around there. But I think what separates him is that he can put together a stretch of like 3 to 4 games where he looks like one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, we saw that obviously during the Super Bowl run. And then we even saw that again this last year. You know, the Eagles went to Los Angeles. They were 13.5-point underdogs. It seemed like the season was over, and he put together this 3-game stretch where he like led the league in every statistical category: completion percentage, yards per attempt, all of that. So that's the key with Foles, that maybe a team can talk themselves into. You know what? He doesn't have to be a top-5 guy for an entire season, but if he can be sort of good enough, maybe he can get hot, and that'll lead us somewhere.
Yeah, I felt for a while that since last season, I guess, that he's one of the most high variance football players I've ever seen, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's Blake Bortles is up there as well, but he's played a lot. He was bad last year, whereas Nick Foles, as you mentioned, in 2018 was pretty good. After a sort of slow start, he finished the 5 regular season games with a passer rating of 96. Completion percentage is 72%, 7.2 yards per attempt, versus, like, you can look at 2015, I mentioned, you know, with the Rams, his numbers were, I mean, his statistics look like, what is it, an EKG, where your heart goes up and down or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's really no, he's, like, so hard to evaluate as a football player. I mean, he has, as you mentioned, the upside and the ability and the arm and occasionally the accuracy, but then, and last year he was phenomenal under pressure, by the way. Some of that had to do with the Eagles' offensive line obviously playing a lot better towards the end of the season, but even so, his statistics speak for themselves. But then just given, like, it wasn't like he had one bad season. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, he was bad recently and he was bad for a while. So I find it, like, very difficult to place him. It's funny, you said what, 17-ish? 17 through 20? Is that where you...
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the sort of window I have him in, and I totally agree. It's been one of the weirdest NFL careers that I can remember. I mean, you know, I was covering the Eagles when he had that Chip Kelly year, 27 yeah. touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and I remember thinking, like, 2 years later, you know, in 50 years, when someone's scrolling through, like, Pro Football Reference and looking at some of the most amazing quarterback seasons, they're going to look at that and be like, what in the world happened that year
yeah.
to produce that season out of Nick Foles? And then, you know, he sees sort of the bottom of the barrel with Jeff Fisher and the Rams. And it's so funny. I remember during that Super Bowl week when the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, was talking about Foles' career, and he's like, you know, we just throw out those Ram years out the window. I mean, no one has a chance there. He was just, like, totally ripping them, whether intended or unintended. And I think one thing that is a little bit of a difference is that, you know, I think the first time around with the Eagles, and even, like you mentioned, those other stops, the lows were very low, where he would just have these total clunkers of games where he just looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and you could never imagine signing this guy to a legitimate contract, a long-term contract at big money. And I think those lows haven't been as low. I do think he's improved as a player, and he's got really good coaching. You know, he's been with, like, over the last few years, it's been, what, Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich. Like, he's gotten some really good coaching, and I think he's more at peace just sort of seeing, you know, that experience with the Rams, nearly quitting football, and then coming back and seeing the highs of the high by winning the Super Bowl. So even this last season, you know, I think he ended the season really strong. He had a great game against the Texans. It's really entertaining shootout against Deshaun Watson, where he threw for like 471 yards. But if, you know, watching the film of that Saints loss in the divisional round, you know, Foles was probably the biggest reason I think they lost that game. I mean, they had opportunities, and the defense holds the Saints to 20 points. And he was just inaccurate. He was inconsistent after those first 2 drives. They don't score a point really the rest of the way. And so those games do still exist, and I think they're going to exist for the remainder of his career.
Well, and
You talked about, you know, how he's improved in Philadelphia and the lows are lower. And I agree with that, right? Even the final games or the beginning of the season, even though he wasn't incredible, he wasn't Super Bowl Nick Foles, who's like one of the greatest Super Bowl quarterbacks in NFL history, which is amazing. You know, he wasn't Rams Nick Foles in those games. But a big part of that is context, right? I mean, the coaching you mentioned, the talent around him, offensive line was better again at the end of the season. So then when we talk, Sheila, about some of the teams where he might go to, Jacksonville being one you hear a lot thrown around, especially since they hired John DeFilippo, and obviously they need a quarterback. Then you look at that roster and you think, okay, we've got this high variance quarterback who has these like incredible highs, but is it a bad, like what will happen if we put him in a significantly worse situation?
Yeah, I do think that that's totally a fair question. But just looking at some of the options, and I think you're right that Jacksonville seems like a logical fit. Denver, I think, maybe could be an option for him. I mean, those are teams, you know, the Jaguars, I think they were sixth in defensive DVOA last year, and they were 30th in offensive passing DVOA. So there's this, you know, very defined strengths and weaknesses on that football team. There's a coordinator there who he's familiar with, like you mentioned, in John DeFilippo, who really knows how to cater to Foles' strength. And he does have this experience in sort of the, you know, the new offenses, the West Coast hybrids or whatever we want to call them, where it's some of these traditional passing concepts, and then you're installing the spread and the RPOs and all those different types of things. I mean, that's really been what the Eagles' offense has been the last couple of years. So I think that Jaguars team makes a lot of sense, but you are right in that it's not a given. It's not like he's going to go there and he's going to solve all their problems. And, you know, if the offensive line isn't good, if the weapons around him aren't good, I mean, those are all certainly issues, and the situation would not be as good as it has been in Philadelphia. If I'm Jacksonville, I think that's probably a swing worth taking, but not sort of a home run by any means.
Well, so that Jacksonville team signed Blake Bortles last year to a 3-year, $54 million deal, right? I was just looking at some of the contracts from last year, trying to just like figure out what he might make. I mean, one thing I thought that should be a bit of a market setter for a guy like Foles or some of the other free agents we might talk about, Bradford signed a 1-year $15 million. Sorry for me to say this without laughing. Sam Bradford signed a 1-year 50. I'm really trying to get to this $15 million dollar deal. So you got to think Foles, given that there'll probably be a market for his services due to the aforementioned horribleness of the quarterback market. He's going to get something multi-year, and it's going to be something more than that. I imagine it comes in under 20, but like, where do you see it falling?
Yeah, I think right around there. You know, yeah, I think it's possible that it goes to 20 or a little bit more than 20. I think Keenum got 18 last year, and you mentioned Bortles got 18. I mean, if I'm Foles' agent, I'm saying that's the floor. You know, we got to get above that. So you know, I think around $20 million. Is not crazy for Nick Foles. It's just the way sort of the quarterback market is. I mean, I think there's 15 quarterbacks making $20 million per year or more. So, you know, it's sort of, that's just what the market is. And if you want a guy who's a starter and who's certainly been better than Bortles and Keenum, then that's what you're going to have to pay. And I know the Eagles are sort of floating this franchise tag idea. I know they do want to try to get something for him if they can, but I have a hard time, unless they have a deal in place already and they say, okay, we have a deal in place, now we're going to use the franchise tag and trade you right away, I have a hard time imagining they're going to take a risk and franchise tag him and have that $25 million cap hold and then go out and look for a trade partner. I think that's a little bit of bluffing on Howie Roseman and the Eagles' part. So I think the way we're talking about this is the right way. I think the most likely scenario is that he is just going to end up being a free agent and having his choice of team.
Well, and then Jacksonville's, you know, they're picking in the top 10, but they're behind New York. As much as it is a bad free agent market for quarterbacks, the draft is not much better, which again contributes to why we think Nick Foles is going to get paid. There's a new addition, Kyler Murray. You might have heard of him. And on that note, by the way, Arizona Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury came out and just said, Josh is our guy, speaking of Josh Rosen. So sort of quashing the rumors that, you know, Kingsbury, who obviously has an affinity for Murray and probably wouldn't mind having him in that offense, is going to trade Rosen and take Kyler with the number one pick. I use squashing very gently and tentatively because I don't believe any of these people when they say this stuff. But, you know, I guess the reason, even though Jacksonville is picking fairly high, they could draft a quarterback. It's not implausible. I feel like because they've been through such QB hell, I don't know. I'm torn. So you said, you know, Jacksonville falls for the reasons we talked about, but they don't have a lot of cap space. They're actually dead last. You know, they could make some, do some financial maneuvers, and they don't have a ton of free agents that they want to sign. But it might be financially better for them to draft like a Kyler Murray or, you know, a Drew Lock or Dan Jones. I mean, what makes you think that they're more likely to take Nick Foles than to do that?
Well, it just seems like with that team last year, they were, I don't even know if it's the verge of falling apart. It felt like they were really falling apart at times, whether it was the fights in the locker room, the record. I mean, there were games where they just didn't show up. But again, overall, I think the defensive talent is still there. The defensive production was still there. And I was looking at their cap space as well. I think there are moves they can make without really affecting their kind of core defensive players and still have room to acquire somebody like Nick Foles. So it just seems like, you know, if they're going to kind of go for it with that defense and, you know, they're not really being a sort of juggernaut in the AFC, this might be a good time to do that. And I'm always for not leaving yourself with just one option. So, you know, maybe it's you do a sign Nick Foles, and then, you know, you're obviously not going to probably then use your first-round pick on a quarterback, but who knows? Maybe there's a guy you like in the second or third round. Like, give yourself multiple options, because unless you have that guy who you know he's your franchise quarterback, it's just so hard to find the next one or, you know, be sure about it, whether it's free agency or trade. So I'm always for, you know, go with the veteran, add the draft pick, take a bunch of swings, see what happens. Yeah. If a guy gets injured, you know, the rookie gets to play. Maybe he provides a spark, do all that. So I don't think it has to necessarily preclude them from going to the draft and taking a quarterback. But it does feel like they might have a small little window here with that talent on the defensive side of the ball where they could make some noise in the AFC.
And it's so crazy that, like, you look at teams like Jacksonville that didn't take a quarterback last year. You know, I mean, knowing, again, how high variance Blake Bortles was. Or a team like New York, which we both think is probably going to draft a quarterback, maybe Dwayne Haskins, and hold on to Eli for another year, something that they could have done last year as well in a much better quarterback draft. A team that I think maybe is in the most difficult position of any – do you know what team I'm talking about? Of any team – quarterback wise right now, can you guess?
Washington?
Yes, it's Washington. You got it.
Okay.
So man, that contract is bad. Speaking of Alex Smith's deal, so just a quick recap, they guaranteed him $55 million with a $27 million signing bonus. $15 million of that will be paid in 2019, so, you know, that's a sunk cost. There's nothing they can do next year. In 2020, it's a little bit interesting because his salary is guaranteed for injury, but weirdly it's guaranteed for injury based on like now or something. It vests in 2019. It's very bizarre. I have no idea why they did that. there are offsets if he comes back, but regardless, given what we've heard about how devastating his injury is and the very slim likelihood that he might never come back and play, it's obviously a worse situation for Alex Smith, but it's a terrible situation for Washington. What do you think they're most likely to do? Because they got to do something, right, at quarterback.
I think so, yeah. And I do think one thing that is true with Foles is that he wants to make sure he goes to a good situation because he has been in the worst situation. And so I don't think that is Washington. I mean, you never know. You know, a team offers a contract and you could change your mind, but I think I have the quarterback for Washington. Ooh. And, you know, in my hours and hours of prep for this podcast, I mean, I was looking at the market, I was looking at the teams, and I found a quarterback who nothing he does can be described as above average. He's good enough to be playing, but probably not good enough to win anything. And that description seems to fit very well with Washington. And I think that might be Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill? Really? Interesting.
Maybe. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, speaking of injury, I mean, Tannehill is like an interesting case. Well, first of all, we don't know if Miami is going to move on. I think they
right.
can save about half of the cap, like $13 million I've got written down. So if they just want like a fresh start, new coach, new coordinator, I could see them making this move. Just wipe the stakes, slate clean, right? I'm not sure that they're going to get a quarterback better than Tannehill. They're a team that I've seen Kyler Murray mock to, by the way. But if they do move on from him, I guess Washington makes sense. I had thought a nice one for them might be Teddy Bridgewater. Do you think he's too expensive?
If I were a team looking for a quarterback, I would love the philosophy of let's sign Teddy Bridgewater and draft somebody. And I feel like put a little bit in each of those buckets and maybe you come out with something. I think Bridgewater's worth taking a risk on. I was watching his, that last game of the season last year. Obviously, he didn't play great. But then you look at the preseason, too. And one thing I did think with him is that there are, like, a lot of examples in all those games about him, of him moving well, avoiding pressure, you know, bootlegs or scrambling outside the pocket. And that, obviously, after that knee injury, was the biggest question mark. So he's only 26 years old. You know, I think there's some upside there. It may never work out for him. That's obviously possible. I think a lot of people are rooting for him, but we saw when he was healthy that he could at the minimum give you competent quarterback play. He's young, and I think even a team, if Jacksonville doesn't go with Foles, if I were them, I would say, hey, maybe let's go with Bridgewater. Denver, I don't think that's crazy for them, because he's young enough where if he does work out, you have a guy for a while. I thought maybe Miami, but you know, it seems like Miami's just going to, like, tank and really try to put out a good offense on the field. So, maybe Washington. I mean, I don't know what their cap situation is going to be, how much they're going to want to spend. But if I were one of these three, four, five teams that really needs a quarterback, I like the strategy of signing Bridgewater and then also giving yourself a chance with somebody in the draft.
When you said Denver, it just occurred to me, I have no idea who's running Denver's offense. Right after the Kubiak thing fell through. I'm like, who's
it? Is, I do know who it is, but his name was a little bit tough to pronounce.
So it's not like a famous, it's not someone well known. I'm trying to.
No, it was the Niners quarterback coach.
It must have been a San Francisco guy because of Fangio.
Yeah, the last 2 years. His name is Rich Gangarello. I hope I didn't pronounce that incorrectly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know nothing about him and what he likes in quarterbacks, so I have nothing to add to that. I mean, sometimes you think with a defensive-minded coach, they really like quarterbacks who don't turn the ball over. Defensive coaches also tend to like mobile quarterbacks, which is not Teddy, but that's totally speculating. I mean, those are pretty much, I think, the teams that, like, you know, Denver, possibly Miami, Jacksonville, obviously, Washington, New York, I think we both agree, is going to draft. Then you get into a bunch of teams that, like, don't need a quarterback but might be looking for the next answer, like a Cincinnati. I want to throw that out there. Detroit? You remember the Stafford rumors kind of last year.
Oakland, I was thinking. Maybe,
Oakland.
I don't know if they're going to do anything with Derek Carr, but I know, we did a piece for on The Athletic where I just asked all the beat writers about whether their team might be interested in Foles. And Vic DeFore, who covers the Raiders, said it's known that John Gruden was a big fan of Nick Foles. And also another thing there that's interesting is Mike Mayock did the preseason games for the Eagles for several years. So he's like on the sideline in practice talking to Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson. And so he has like sort of this intimate knowledge of Nick Foles, both, what we see publicly and what he was like, sort of behind closed doors. So, I mean, I don't know if they would get rid of Carr and if they're going to look for somebody else, but that does seem like sort of a wild card that might be out there where like, we'll just wake up one day and, oh, the Raiders traded Derek Carr and are going to do something else at quarterback. I don't think that can be ruled out either.
Michelle, I'd like to remind you of something you said about 5 minutes ago, which is that Nick Foles doesn't want to be in a bad situation.
Yeah,
with regards to Oakland. No, but Bill Barnwell actually hinted at the same thing to me, and it sent chills down my spine about Foles going to the Raiders. Now, and, you know, they do have a ton of picks, right? So they could hold on to Carr, see what, and that contract at this point is pretty easy to get out of. So they could hold on to him, see how that goes. It's entirely possible. Well, just one last quarterback I want to ask you before we get to questions. Where do you see Flacco next year?
I guess that, I mean, that contract seems untradeable, right? I know John Harbaugh, like I was reading up on his quote, and he's making Joe Flacco out to be, the greatest quarterback who's ever stepped foot on the face of the earth, trying to create a market for him. I mean, I don't see how a team could think that trading for that contract and starting Flacco is their best option. That just seems like you're sort of torpedoing your franchise a little bit. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, I would imagine he's going to end up having to just get released. I haven't looked at what those cap implications would be. But then, you know, any one of these teams that we've mentioned here, that just sort of would add another name to the mix there. I haven't been a big Joe Flacco fan. I find him to be one of sort of the hardest quarterbacks just to watch in terms of when the red zone comes on. And, you know,
the aggression there. I find him to be one of the hardest quarterbacks to watch. Wow.
When the Ravens have come on the red zone like the last 3 years, I'm just like, oh gosh, is there not an option for me to just say, give me a blank screen and then bring it back when you switch to another game? I don't know if I'm taking it too far
screen.
Or not, but That's how I feel.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I just think some of the other options we went over would be better than Flacco. And I really don't see that trade happening. But, Sheil, I'm hoping you'll stick around because, as always, we're going to take a few questions.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
All right, guys, as ever, if you leave a positive review in my iTunes, please remember my mom, Sunman Kimes, reads them. I'll answer the question. First one comes from Ann Hum, who asks me if attending Yale was special given the developmental role it played in football. Wow. So for those who don't know, this is like a really
cool podcast. They're coming in hot this week. Wow, yeah.
It's a really cool podcast. You're super hip. That might be, this is a safe space for that kind of question. So for those who don't know, look up a guy named Walter Camp, whose response, I think they call him like the father of American football. And he was at Yale and created a lot of the rules of the modern game and took it away from rugby. But to actually answer your question, I never went to a single Yale football game because I liked forward passes. Lenny Wise the Clown. Wow. That's disturbing. And also great Halloween costume idea for my dog. Asks, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Is it okay to wear a different team's jersey to a sporting event? So like separate from the two teams who are playing. Or he says a different sport, like wearing like a Russell Wilson jersey to a Mariners game. How do you feel generally about cross jersey pollination?
I do not like this. I specifically do not like if it's the same sport. So if it's two teams playing and you are wearing a jersey of a different team playing the same sport, like what are you doing? Why are you there? Go home and watch the team whose jersey you have on right now. If it's a different sport, I still don't love it. Ooh. I feel like you shouldn't do that. But if it's the same city and, you know, maybe the other team's doing well and you're showing support for them, that will be acceptable.
Like the Wilson to the Mariners kind of thing.
Yeah, I think
that
that's
also,
okay.
Though, that's really sad because, like, the Mariners, you know what I mean? You remember from living in Seattle.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'm going to wear the jersey of our successful team. I love it. So I was thinking about this at the Super Bowl because it's off common at, like, the Super Bowl, right? Because a lot of people there don't even really care about, they just had corporate tickets or whatever. But I just think it's such a power move to be like, no, I'm going to wear my Bengals jersey to the Super Bowl. It just cracks me up. This is a tough one. But HGC65, I hope that's not like a password for anything, whoever left that, asks, how many seasons will the Chiefs Super Bowl window last? Well, they got to win one first. I actually picked them to win next year. I mean, how do you feel about that generally?
I really thought last year was going to be Andy Reid's year. I mean, I couldn't believe it even as that Super Bowl was unfolding and it was, you know, no one was scoring and it felt like maybe these aren't the two best teams. I just thought, how did it not happen for him last year? But in terms of the window, I mean, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years, it feels crazy to say, but they're going to have
one of
the best quarterbacks, yeah, unless he has some, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but, you know, some type of injury or that type of thing, the window should be wide open for them for a long time to come. So I guess that's a sort of a sense of hope or optimism for Chiefs fans, even though it didn't go their way last year.
I picked them next year just because, as you know, statistically it's a lot harder to repeat on defense than offense, and I see no reason why their offense won't be amazing next year, and then I imagine the defense can't be worse than they were during the regular season. So I feel pretty good about them. Matthew Stafford infection. Really killing with the names today, guys. This is like an inside joke, so you don't have to answer this. Yes, when is the best time to tighten up? The best time to tighten up is Saturday because you're still hopeful about the Titans' prospects. CYBN6 asks, I'd like to hear your answer for this. What is your dream around the horn panel? This is the last question I'm going to take today. I'm going to go with...
What was the question?
What is your dream around the horn panel? So four sports writers that you'd like to see debate. And it doesn't have to be people who are on around the horn currently. Just want to... So I'm going to do Ray Ratto, who I find hilarious, Bob Ryan, Dan Shaughnessy. Who's like somebody like really grumpy? Someone really, trying to put together like three grumpy people.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Francesca and Stu Goss.
Yes.
That's my foursome. Because that would be incredibly entertaining to me to watch them try to deal with Stu Goss' takes.
I think that is a good one. I think Francesa absolutely has to be on there. How about Charles Barkley?
Oh.
I think he would be a good one.
He'd be like too good, I think, but yeah.
He might be too good. That would be fun. I'm actually trying to scroll through my Twitter here now to see who I might be.
He's like a good hot taker. You know, it's
you know
about
what?
The mix.
How about we give a shout out to? I think we're both a fan. How about Ted Wynn? He sometimes comes with some sort of off. Like, we know he knows football and X's and O's, but sometimes he'll throw a tweet out there that you're not expecting at all about food or coffee or something. He might have some untapped potential there.
Ted is great. Ted was very confused last night because some of us were tweeting about The Bachelor. He was like, why are some Ted, you guys should absolutely FB Football Analysis, I think is his handle. Great film breakdowns. One of my favorite writers at The Athletic, where Sheil, my other favorite, well, that seems strong, one of my other favorite football writers works. Thank you so much for joining. You know what, Sheil? I have one final question for you before I let
you
go. Nick Foles, next season, does he have a winning record?
I will say, yes, he leads the Jacksonville Jaguars to the AFC South title. How about that?
Wow, you guys, you heard it here. First Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles, Sheil Kapadia called it. Incredible, bold take. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sheil.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right, we are back. Well, not really back because there wasn't a break, but... imagine that there was a break and now we're back. And I, as promised, I am recording here in Miami with the shipping container.
Are we supposed to make a noise?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
Yay.
Hello.
Marina. Hi.
Right. How are you doing?
Before we started, I asked you guys if you had listened to my podcast and nobody had. Mike said he kind of had. He was on it once.
I was on it once and I wasn't even listening.
Oh. Well, today, since this is like the second full off-season podcast, like mostly we've been, everybody's just laughing at me, previewing the games, but now we get to do whatever we want, and we've been talking about the free agent quarterbacks. This is recorded actually after yesterday I taped with Sheil, so the Flacco news dropped today, which, how are we feeling about?
So you're turning to the one unit in America that you would like to get the best possible Joe Flacco thoughts from.
Let's hear him.
All right, let's lead off. You going around the horn? How are you doing this? Because you're driving.
Yeah. So, well, that wasn't my plan to have like a hardcore football conversation. Actually, first of all, I've gotten a lot better at driving, as people who listen to the podcast have commented on my iTunes. One person said that.
It sounds like it.
Thanks. appreciate it, Billy. But I thought we could talk about the quarterbacks, like, generally, like the NFL quarterbacks, but I didn't want to put too much pressure on you guys knowledge-wise. Yes, Mike?
I have my arm up.
Yeah, I see.
Because you're driving, and I want to make sure I make this as easy as possible for you.
Okay.
Did you know Joe Flacco never made a Pro Bowl?
What?
That's crazy.
They were?
Not too surprising.
Oh, wow.
But it's nuts, right? He's been around forever.
Do you guys buy the theory that Elway keeps picking crappy quarterbacks because he wants to ensure his legacy as the best Denver quarterback in franchise history?
I like that.
You like it?
I don't know that I buy it, but I like it.
My other theory is that he's a... Actually, I don't know if that's a phrase I can use in this podcast. Somebody who cares a lot about size. When you think about it...
We can get away with more on Levitard and Friends.
Can we? Okay. Well,
I know
Dan
and Stu can.
Know the phrase I was going to use. It's like an internet phrase for people who care about those things. But
well, now I'm interested and I want to hear it.
I'll tell you guys after this show. I have advertisers now. But when you think about it, okay, so I have this theory that no quarterback, you can't be 6'6" or taller and be a good quarterback. And here are some of the quarterbacks he's taken. Paxton Lynch, 6'7". Brock Osweiler, 6'7". And now Joe Flacco, 6'6". It kind of checks out when you think about it. Like, who's a really good... Like, you can't be too short, but you also can't be too tall as a quarterback.
I feel like Cam Newton's the perfect size quarterback.
6'5", off the top of my head?
Just wow. Under 6'6".
Yes.
But, like, not...
Peyton
lanky.
Was 6'5".
Roethlisberger is 6'5".
Yeah, guys, I said 6'6". You're naming
well,
like,
we're still looking. So close, though.
Well, same size as Joe Flacco, who has one of the saddest entries... In his Wikipedia, I'm reading the third paragraph starts, despite rather pedestrian regular season statistics and no Pro Bowl berth as of the 2018 season.
You know, Joe Flacco probably has the biggest glow up, though, of any quarterback. Like, one day he just came back significantly better looking than, I mean, Andy Dalton is in the mix. But as far as, you know... A hotness improvement. He's really up there.
It's all about the haircuts.
Yes.
I've realized this. You got to go to the barber once a week, guys. Yeah. The life changing.
Too much. That's too much.
Once
you
a week.
Change your haircut radio. Like every week.
Yeah. I go to the barber once a week.
Right.
Look at me.
I go once a month.
I'm
What's
glowing.
Your budget for haircuts? I go like 4 times a year.
Well, you got to sign up for the loyalty program.
Let's start there. Hair. So I have a list of questions where I want you guys to name who you think the quarterback is in the NFL who has the X of whatever question I'm going to ask. And let's start with that. Who has the best haircut of any quarterback in the NFL?
Oh, wow. This is...
Patrick Mahomes. Easy.
Patrick Mahomes does have super cool hair.
Nick Foles is 6'6".
Yeah, and he's been bad.
He's a champion.
And good. We talked about Nick Foles in the serious part of this podcast.
I know. I remember. It was a good conversation.
It was great.
It happened before this.
It was great.
Listening.
We were just silently listening.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, that like where you start
so
talking
many.
About like where he goes from here.
Uh-huh.
And where he's going to go next. And,
yeah.
You know, we talked
yeah.
about the Super Bowl. And
it's
how,
coming up next in his life.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, even though you've already heard
well,
it
yeah,
by now.
Yeah, people who have listened to yeah. this ostensibly didn't. Although I guess some people might fast forward to this part for yeah. some reason.
Well, you should rewind and listen to that because it was really good.
Who is the quarterback you think you could beat in a fight?
Wait, well, no. I didn't answer my hair
he
one.
He didn't answer the hair
sorry,
one.
Sorry, I didn't think you had answers by the looks on your faces.
I go Andrew Luck. I know you guys are going to look at me like I'm weird.
That's the worst.
That's the worst.
He gives off like, I don't care what you think. I don't like people that try too hard.
It's the worst hair.
No, it's shaggy. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes he trims it
He's
like,
balding
long.
In the back.
The way that I was doing it in my head was, let me think of the worst and work my way up. And I started with Andrew Luck.
Andy Dalton also has great hair.
He's a fantastic hair because he goes to the barber once a week.
He also had a big glow up, right? Where one day he was like, whoa. What?
You know who's got bad hair?
Who's
Kirk
that?
Cousins. Really bad
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a fan of his hair.
No.
Roy, who's got the best hair?
Mahomes.
Yeah, all right. So two for Mahomes, and I'm going to go totally unbiased opinion. I love Baker Mayfield's hair.
Oh, my God.
He has the most normal hair of any.
No, it's not normal.
Back to quarterbacks that have improved their look. Tom Brady is better looking now than he was years ago.
He
yes.
is. What's going
yes.
on there?
Money.
He cut his hair.
Money?
It's like how like rich people are good looking because yeah. they can afford the finest skincare.
Have you noticed that rich people don't seem to get sunburned? This is something that I picked up on a long time ago, and no one wants to go down this path with me. And I can't figure out why I've never seen a celebrity with like a really bad sunburn.
Maybe expensive sunblock? Is there like
yeah.
some like top level sunblock That's that peasants can't afford?
In Korea, like being light skinned for years was like a sign of beauty, and we can get into the complex racial dynamics of that. But mostly it was for economic reasons because it meant you didn't work outside and you, I guess, wore a fancy hat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
George
how
Hamilton
I ended up
has
there.
A bad tan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
George
yeah.
George Hamilton.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Is, I'm, but he's like a celebrity because of how sunburned.
It's like orange. It's not like burned. A dark.
Texas rosy Longhorn. Cheeks.
So the fight. Who's the quarterback you guys think you could beat in a fight?
Well, can I? This is a weird one. Russell Wilson sometimes has the worst hair and then the best hair.
He grows it out. I like it when he grows it out. I don't like it when it's like those faux hawks that babies have. Like parents who, you know, think their babies are cool. He looks like a baby with a faux hawk sometimes.
I go Nick Foles. I think I could take him.
Really? Even though he's 6'6".
No, he's really tall, but he just seems...
He has, must have crazy reach, I would
think. He seems genuinely
nice.
And I feel like if I just struck him quick, I feel like I could take him.
Does it have to be a starter?
No.
Hmm. Sam Bradford count? Is he still in the league?
That's a great answer.
I'll go Andrew Luck.
No,
Andrew Luck would
yoked.
Break you with his bare hands.
You know what?
I wish
angry.
I wish to do wood.
Don't
I wish to do wood.
If you pick me, you're making a mistake.
What kind of fight are we talking about?
I'm a fighter. I just want to read books.
wait, guys, whose Andrew Luck impersonation is better, me or Mike?
Do it again. Okay. Wait, let me close my eyes so I don't know. So this is unbiased. Everybody listening, close your eyes, unless you're driving.
I just read a great book, Hillbilly Elegy.
All right, now the next person.
Roar, I don't want to fight you.
Wow. Oh, man. That's tough. So close. It's like the eye doctor when it's like one or two. Let me hear two again.
Peas are my favorite food.
One. It was one. One was better.
Number one was the best?
Peas are delicious.
Who was one?
Oh, yeah.
I opened my eyes now.
I was number one.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job, Mina. Cool.
Yeah.
Peas underrated.
I want to fight Eli. I like my chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly the right answer. Andrew Luck, Roy.
What?
You think Andrew Luck would be easier to fight than Eli?
I think it's a tie.
Who's a quarterback?
I'd take both of them on.
Who's a quarterback you'd least like to fight?
Oh, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, Josh Allen,
and obviously Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield probably he fights.
Who's the quarterback who reminds you the most of Stu Gatz?
Wow.
Oh boy.
Huh.
It's got to be someone with a rational confidence. Can I go retired?
Sure.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
But Stu Gatz is like nice and friendly and engaging.
Oh, that's part of the con.
No, that's a con.
Yeah.
Wait, he's not? He's always that way with me.
Yes, to you.
No. He's looking for something.
Yeah.
What?
There's no quarterback as sleazy as. I'm looking like at the quarterback. No. Nothing like, not even close to Stu Gatz.
That's why I can't go any active quarterback.
I don't think I would fight Philip Rivers. I know this was the old question because I don't know. He just has a crazy about
tear
him
you
that
shreds.
I don't know that I could trust.
That's what Andrew Luck has. Roy, that was a terrible answer by you.
Yeah, but
excuse me.
He's so nice, but if you got him angry, like, whoa.
What kind of fight are we talking about, though? Like, is this like a
Octagon.
Sanctioned fight?
All rules. That like you can do anything. So no weapons.
No holds barred.
See, now
no
that weapons. My answer.
I've got it more as like I'm defending my family.
I mean, he already foams at the mouth, and that's him not being upset at all.
Yeah.
Hmm. Andrew Luck does.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know what I hate about myself? I mean, there's a lot of things.
What's that, Mina?
What are the top five things?
I know. This is number one. Oh, man. Are we doing the top five
things?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Descending order.
Number five is I'm always cold. Like, I'm really cold right now. Mm-hmm. That's up there. Number four is my inability to keep three thoughts in my head at the same time, which is why I struggle with the whole
radio
thing.
Can you do four? You could do two or four, just not three? Or you can't do three or more?
Can do two, Billy.
Okay.
Number three is the Andrew Luck thing, which is even though like I'm not like a fan, he's so obviously the quarterback I'd be friends with, and I hate that about myself.
I feel the same way.
Do you?
I
like,
feel
you
like
know,
me and Andrew Luck could be friends.
Like you'd vibe really well in
he
real
just
life.
Seems really genuine and like a really nice guy, and he doesn't seem like he's like he doesn't think he's better than anyone, and I feel like I could relate to him a little bit. Or like he'd just be the only person that put up with me. Because he's not going to tell you, like, look, you're annoying, get away from me.
He's so nice.
Is he? Have you met him?
No.
Oh. How's Aaron?
But you're right. He
can I ask you
really
about
nice.
That? Do you think Aaron Rodgers would be my friend? I don't think so.
He likes you.
Yeah, but he seems too cool for
he's,
me.
When he joined the radio show, he said you were his favorite.
Yeah, but
he
if
was
he
a big
met
fan
me,
of yours.
He wouldn't like me. He'd just be like, this guy's boring.
So, having been around not only him, but his friends, right, which would be telling of the kind of people he likes, I actually think he would like Billy the best out of all four of you.
What a day for me.
Mike's crying on the inside right now.
This is such a bad day.
Well, just on the inside.
Just tell him Baker Mayfield would like him and he'll be happy.
We'll see. I haven't met him yet.
I think it's hard to get Baker Mayfield to like you.
Really?
He only likes Christian Yelich. I mean, weird. He's attacking everybody, jumping off the top rope on Arian Foster, who I thought was kind of likable.
What did he do? What did Arian Foster
retweeted? Did you see the video that the Browns tweeted out there? It was the actual video that all the GIFs came out of.
Yeah.
Okay, we're never going to agree there. Baker Mayfield dancing.
Yeah, the classic.
Doing all those dances, and the Browns tweeted that out with the caption, "Your quarterback could never." And Arian Foster retweeted that with the caption, "Would never."
Arian Foster had it coming then. That's an attack. And then
Baker Mayfield
did
the thing that Baker Mayfield does, which is take no.
Which quarterback would you want to take a 4-hour road trip with?
Is your answer going to be Andrew Luck for everything, Billy?
I haven't answered him for anything yet, but this has to be someone that I would vibe with and that I would get along with and would get along with me. Get back to me.
I'm going Andrew Luck. Because you could just get some stories. And he'd just be mumbling, and it would just be really funny.
You know the problem with Andrew Luck and me? I feel like really early on, he would realize he's so much smarter than me, and I would just not be, like, interesting enough for him to talk to.
Here's why I think Andrew Luck would be totally engaging in a car ride. We've seen the photos of his phone. We've seen the photos of his car. I think he's a super engaged driver and talker. He's not going to be distracted by an iPhone. He relies heavily on the conversation in the car, because he doesn't, when he's in the car, he clearly never listens to the radio.
Yeah, who's driving this road trip? Is the quarterback driving, or am I driving?
I didn't even think about that. I guess the quarterback?
If he's driving, definitely Andrew Luck, because he's 10-2 for sure.
10-2, but talking.
Yeah. Russell Wilson's the last person that I'd want to go on a road trip with.
Why is that?
He'd just be really boring. I feel like if I'm driving, he'd put me to sleep. I don't know. I'm looking at these quarterbacks. I think he would be the most.
What's the goal on this road trip? Are we trying to be entertained? Because then you might want someone that's involved in some sort of tomfoolery. Do we want to be friends with someone that has good music? Like, what are we trying to do?
How long of a ride is it?
Yeah.
4 hours.
4 hours? All right. So we're driving to Orlando.
And we can't sleep.
Are we going to Disney with them if we're going to Orlando?
You can sleep.
You can sleep. I guess it's the quarterback gets tailored to your liking.
Yeah. Like, I want someone who'd be like, hey, Mina.
Who's yours?
Let's put on a podcast. True crime.
So obviously Andrew Luck again.
Andrew Luck is yours. Roy?
Wait, who would you fight? Did you answer any of the other questions?
I don't have to answer the questions. The fighting one is Eli. That Mike was right. That seems very obvious.
I didn't know that we were actually going for right or wrong answers.
I'm sorry. He's right in my eyes.
Roy?
Matt Ryan.
You'd like to ride in a car with Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
That is a shocking answer.
Are you just
your answers are man. Wild. Wild.
Who would you go
Roy,
to?
I'd fight Andrew Luck and I'd go on a road trip with Matt Ryan. Who are you?
How about that?
How about that?
What quarterback would you go to Disney World with? Oh, I know this isn't your question.
Totally
sorry.
Different game.
Oh,
Jameis Winston, easy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. It'd be so much fun.
Sean Watson
would be really fun. I think Mahomes would be really fun.
Yeah.
Although maybe he's like too famous now and he'd be recognized too much and he has like too much of a signature look. Like you'd rather go with someone who's a little bit more anonymous.
Right. Man, I want to answer Andrew Luck for this one because I just feel like he's so youthful and joyful that he will love any ride that you go on.
Can I make an admission? Andrew Luck's been the first name that's popped in my head. And I'm forcing myself to not say Andrew Luck now
Now I'm going to try to come
fear
with
of redundancy.
Questions that don't have Andrew Luck as impossible answers.
Philip Rivers looks like a dad at Disney World.
Yeah,
with like, 15 kids.
Exactly. Yeah,
that really he's fast like, oh, when the fast pass,
and one of them's got a leash.
But if you go with Brady, you'll definitely get to the front of every line. Like, not everyone's going to know who Pat Mahomes is.
We can all agree it's a different experience entirely if we pick Tom Brady.
He's got the fast pass.
Cam Newton would be fun at Disney World,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he's good with kids too, and like has a joyful spirit. I was around Brady for the first time ever at the Super Bowl, and like in the locker room afterwards, and I expected him to like. Sort of emanate this like star power. He's really normal and like he's like not that big. He has like a nice kind of personable way about him. I really like came out of the experience liking him more.
Did he know who you were? Did he say, "Hey, Mina"?
Yeah, he did. He said, "Love your work."
Oh, what?
Especially on the Dan Le Batard show.
No, she's fading. Wow.
Did he mention me? What did he say
about
me?
You're messing with us.
I have a story. Oh, I promised you guys I would save it for the radio tomorrow. I have a story about
just say it.
Yeah, we'll pretend you didn't tell us.
Again. No, he'll be so mad. I can't betray him.
Oh, we'll definitely tell
him. He was like, I teased it. I don't know where.
Trust me, he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Who's the quarterback who's most likely to have burner accounts?
Well, this is one of the few times that I'm not going to answer Baker Mayfield because he just puts it out on his normal one.
And it's not luck.
His Twitter account is a burner account.
I feel like this is Tom Brady.
Really?
He seems to care.
Yeah, he seems to care.
He seems especially to care what Eggs think.
Last couple of years, definitely.
His whole like rallying cry was just essentially what Eggs were saying on Twitter this season.
Nobody believes. Mine is Ben Roethlisberger, who like weirdly blocks people who have never tweeted him all the time. Let me check and see if he's blocked.
No, Ben Roethlisberger is actually a great submission, and Mina has the right answers since we're doing right or wrong answers now.
Mine is Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I could see that. Roy's first.
Roy's got a right answer too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm just checking.
Josh Rosen's up there.
Oh yeah. Inquisitive?
Quarterback you'd be afraid to make direct eye contact with.
Oh, easy. Baker Mayfield.
Stop.
Josh Allen looks like he's got some crazy in him.
Ooh, I saw him at Billy, he was at that party we went to.
He's not afraid of making eye contact with cornerbacks.
At the
Whoa.
Hey yo.
He stares down his receivers, folks.
Josh Allen was at the party that you and Charlie came to, the CA one.
There were a lot of people there, but I haven't talked about it because I feel like it's bad form to talk about it, right? I don't know the rules. I don't get invited to cool parties often, so I just haven't talked about it. Field Yates was there.
Did you avoid Josh Allen at that CAA party? Because you've been crushing him.
You know who? Someone came up to me at the CAA party. Should I tell the story?
Do it.
And I was like turned around. This person was like, Mina, like I love your work. It's really great. Big fan. It was Clay Travis.
Oh, no.
I wasn't sure how to react to that.
Oh, boy.
And now you're friends.
Did you say I agree? Same.
I said I also love my work. Who's the quarterback who you feel like you could do your job better than you?
What, the job that we're currently doing.
Baker Mayfield, hold on. Dan's FaceTiming me right now during the podcast. He does that. Hey, Dan, we're recording with Mina right now.
Oh, okay. I'll check in with you later. Goodbye.
That's the good stuff right there.
Do you FaceTime Mina?
I hate FaceTiming.
It seems to be, I don't want to insult anyone, but it seems to be a thing that older people are doing now is FaceTiming instead of calling.
Yes, it's an older
Why is that?
It's because they're like, oh, I figured out technology.
Yeah. Because anytime they watched a movie about the future when they were younger, that's what the future meant. Face calling.
I always thought the future was like a watch that you'd push and like a hologram would come up and you'd talk to the hologram on your wrist.
Well, when that comes out, when we're older, imagine how much we're going to be doing that shit.
You're just like describing Star Wars, Billy.
Is that Star Wars? I'm not a big Star Wars person.
I had to describe the plot of Star Wars on Stugatz's podcast. Really hard to do. It's really complicated. And most of what I said was wrong, even though I've seen Star Wars. The only thing I remembered from the original Star Wars was Luke Skywalker being on a planet with his uncle. And I thought the name of the uncle was Ben, which I don't think it is. But the original
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the planet Tatooine?
So I tried to do a quote when Luke Skywalker. This is literally the only quote I remember from the first Skywalker is Luke.
The first Skywalker.
The first Star Wars is looking like, Uncle Ben, I want to go to like Planet Ma and get my technology or something.
I don't know if it's Uncle Ben.
I know. None of it was.
When you describe Star Wars, do you start like at the beginning since they have like the ones that came before now? Or do you start like at the original
one? I started at that one because I had to describe that movie. I was doing the thing where I pretend like I've seen movies that I haven't. Although I have seen the original Star Wars.
To answer your question, I think Drew Brees is like a know-it-all who thinks he could do my job better. Like I feel like he could, he just looks at people and he's like, I could do that.
Yeah. It's another one that I might struggle with the eye contact there. What about you guys?
Again, Baker Mayfield.
You really think Baker Mayfield could produce the Dan Le Batard show with Stugatz?
He can do anything he puts his mind to.
Roy?
CJ Beathard.
It's actually a really great answer. Your answers are getting better every time.
How's this work? Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
I have one. I have one that I think it'll be fun.
It's democracy.
If you had to remodel a bathroom, what quarterback are you asking?
Josh Allen. Come on.
To do it for
No. Taysom Hill.
Oh, Jason Hill should have been the answer to like half of these now.
I feel like Philip Rivers is pretty handy. I feel like I could picture him with a tool belt.
Well, what are we using them for? Because if it's for the demolition, I'd get Matt Stafford. Like he could knock down some drywall, I think.
I'd save money and get Taysom Hill because he could do the demo and the rebuild.
I'm still with Josh Allen.
Nick Mullins.
I saw him at the Super Bowl week. He is small. Nick Mullins, a really small guy. Are you like on the 49ers roster page right now, Roy?
No, I'm just looking at last year's
quarterback. He just loves Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks.
I feel like if I had someone, sorry to interrupt, design the inside of my house, like in terms of like aesthetics.
Stylishly.
Yeah, I'd pick Russell Wilson.
Okay.
He just looks fashionable to me.
He's really, speaking of.
I wouldn't. I'd pick Baker Mayfield.
What is something you wouldn't pick Baker Mayfield for. The fight one.
The fight one, clearly. Yeah. I would lose that one. I want to pick a quarterback that I could win a fight against.
Would you be okay, like, if Baker Mayfield walked into this room right now after introducing yourself,
I'd scream.
Like how?
I wouldn't be able to control I can't recreate it because I don't know, but some noise would come from my
like
body
a,
that I couldn't control.
Like a truly shock scream or like a girlish scream, the sort of which we don't normally hear from.
It might just be an actual gasp. It would be like where I struggle for the air. Yeah, it could be something like that. It could sound like Mr. Belding's laugh.
Would you try to touch him?
No, I could never.
Like a hug?
No, I could never.
Not even a handshake?
No, I could never.
Really?
No, I could never.
Why?
Not worthy.
Who's the quarterback most likely to love the show The Big Bang Theory? I wrote these questions. I was sitting on a plane next to a guy watching The Big Bang Theory.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
No, stop.
Andrew Luck.
No, he's like Game of Thrones. Like
I love Sheldon. True.
Brock Osweiler.
What was that, Chris?
Love Sheldon.
Sheldon reminds
me character.
Of Jack Doyle. He reminds me a lot of him.
I love True Detective. I have some theories.
I really enjoy the little slow build and Mahershala Ali's character.
Are you enjoying the slow build on Mahershala Ali's character?
I'm running out of patience.
Me too, man. Like, give us some plot, right? Like, I'm worried that it's going to be one of those detective shows where everything's revealed in the last episode, and I hate that.
Which quarterback's terrified of scary movies?
Ooh.
Russell Wilson.
Stop! Oh. Leave Russell alone! I feel like Eli does not mess with scary movies.
I feel like Jameis Winston.
Oh, that's a good answer.
I don't like scary movies either. I don't know about you guys.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Huh.
No.
Oh, he's one.
Is that better? Do you think that's better than Jameis Winston, or did I take Jameis from you?
No.
Or are you going with another Kyle Shanahan product?
Marcus Mariota.
Oh.
I don't see that guy showing any sort of emotion.
I see him like getting up and walking out at like a scary movie. I should have done by the eye contact one. Now I wish I had done Mitch Trubisky because he's got those like coal, like lumps of coal for eyes, like a snowman.
Yeah.
That are like too intense, like the blackest black. They're, like, too dark, and they're always staring at you, and they're tiny. Like, beady, almost.
If we could change answers, I would do Ryan Fitzpatrick for that one.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory?
For eye contact?
Yeah.
Oh,
Big Bang Theory.
I was going to say Big Bang Theory because he's, you know, he went to Harvard.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant.
I don't think people like Big Bang Theory.
Because they think it's dumb. They're like, this isn't accurate. This isn't how we do things. I don't even know what they do in Big Bang Theory. What's their science that they do? Are they like astronaut people?
I've only watched it sitting next to someone on a plane, but I feel like I know everything about the show based on that experience. You know, aren't there any shows that you
only... I saw a commercial and I know everything there is to know about that show.
What about Young Sheldon?
It took me forever to realize that was a spinoff. I had no idea because I didn't know who Sheldon was.
What?
I was like, that's the one that's like rude.
Who's the quarterback... This will be the last one because I feel like I've asked you.
Cody Kessler.
Who you would want to marry into your family and not name Baker.
Oh, damn. Wow. Not name Baker. Okay.
Well, he's all. Yeah. I just want somebody new.
How close into my family?
Like, take my wife?
Like,
it's Baker Mayfield.
Because, like, if it's like my great aunt or something that's getting married and she marries Terry Bradshaw, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry when Mike said that I'm thinking of the looks like, you know, the legendary, you know, the one I'm thinking of, the guy who pays money to watch, which.
We don't need to go there at all.
No.
We don't need to go there. We can't even get away with that on Levitard and Friends, but I absolutely would.
Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo. What?
Also, I would.
Jimmy Graps?
I go Andy Dalton just because he kind of would fit in with the look of.
Oh, yeah.
All right, actually, one more. Quarterback question, and then we'll wrap up.
I'm out of 49ers here.
I want everyone to go around and pick the quarterback who reminds them the most of someone in the group, but that person can't pick his own quarterback. So let's start with Mike.
Wait, this is a little confusing.
No, okay. So who's the quarterback who reminds you guys most of Mike Ryan? Mike Ryan can't answer the question. Obviously, it's not Baker Mayfield.
Why is that obvious?
I don't know, actually. I don't think it is. I think they're pretty dissimilar, actually. But.
Are we doing, like, on looks or, like, personality-wise?
Personality. And just vibe, really, more than anything.
Looks, it's easy. I get that Aaron Rodgers thing all the time.
You do look like him.
I'm a little scared of what this answer is going
to
be.
I'm trying to find, like, the quarterback that, like, says the least, and that would be Roy. but I can't. There's
no, that'd be Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't say a lot.
I was going to not do that. I was going to say Mariota for you.
Oh, oh yeah. Mariota for Roy is really good. Yeah. I think.
Andrew Luck.
Wants nobody wants to do that. Who's a quarterback that is feared most?
That wouldn't be me either.
Joe Flacco's headshot kind of gives me a Mike vibe.
I was going to say Joe Flacco. Yeah.
You know, Joe Flacco actually has a really dry personality, I've heard.
If we're doing looks, who are you guys going to pick for me?
Dalton.
Oh.
I'd get Josh McCown for you.
Josh McCown is classically handsome.
It might... Oh, such a good dude, too. Josh McCown, low-key, like the coolest, nicest, best.
We have a looks like that says... I was going through a packet yesterday, and it said Josh McCown looks like an ace fighter pilot from World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also like the wokest like white player in the NFL, which doesn't like again his looks.
Oh,
maybe
dude,
don't
I,
jive
I,
with that.
No, he is. He is. Years ago, I went to a Chad Ochocinco charity event in Pahokee. It wasn't Chad Ochocinco. It was Anquan Boldin's charity event. Chad Ochocinco was there, and translucent Josh McCown was the only white football player there because he played with Anquan Boldin.
Yeah,
dude is so cool.
He's dope. Andrew Hawkins explained this to me because I don't remember where they – oh, they played together in Cleveland. So, but he said that when I asked him about it, I was like, so why is Josh McCown so cool? His explanation was Josh McCown grew up playing basketball and just left it at that. And you remember the video of him dunking that circulated?
Yeah, he can hoop.
You see that and you're like, okay, I get it.
When I saw him, he was out on a basketball court and he was dribbling a basketball.
Dude can hoop. Dude can hoop. Chris, I'm going to throw out
– You're going to what?
White Dak Prescott.
I'll take it.
Like the facial hair and you get the backwards hat.
Carson Wentz.
That's a good one.
I'll take it.
That's a good one.
I'm running out of red ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy.
Billy. Billy's tough.
Billy's like Russell Wilson. He's like wholesome.
See, I go Derek Carr.
Really? I think like who's like a quirky quarterback?
Andrew Luck.
He really is.
I give off quirky?
You are Andrew Luck.
Really? Yeah. I feel like I give off the Joe Cool.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, then you'd be Flacco.
All right, guys, finish. Who's the quarterback for me? And the one there.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Baker Mayfield.
All right.
I'll take it. I wanted to bring Lenny on to ask you questions.
Yeah, where's Lenny?
Well, he's in L.A., and, you know, like, not everyone likes the voice that he does.
You don't want to Skype him in?
How does it work? Not that I listen all the time, but for the people that are joining us for the first time, how do you work Lenny in? Does he actually bark or what?
Wow, you really don't listen. He asks a question at the end.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually, like, an insulting question for, you know, something like.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I know the Christmas gift that you got from Dan, and it's for Lenny, right?
That's
for you and Lenny.
Yeah.
How has that gone for you?
It's been amazing. I wonder if it would work.
Well, tell the people what it is.
Yeah, so Dan got me, by the way, if you're listening, I'll take a sponsorship from this company because I use your product. It's called a Furbo. I'm showing it to the guys. And it's a cam where you can see your dog, but he has to be in the room where it is. So I'm connecting right now. It also notifies you when he's barking. And he is in the room. Wait, no. That's just blankets. It's a pile of blankets. It was a pile of blankets. It wasn't Lenny.
What's his question for us?
Well, wait. How does it work? So if Lenny's in the room, you can like call Lenny over?
You can throw a treat with the camera.
You throw a treat?
Yeah, I've taken some videos. I'll show you after.
You can't do it without him in the room?
Like, well, you know, I could throw a treat, but then there'd just be a treat sitting on my living room floor.
Yeah, let's throw a treat.
Yeah, throw a treat, throw a treat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It makes a noise, so I'll hold it up to the mic. A bunch of treats are now just sitting on my...
Yeah, that's cool.
I'll show you some video. It's pretty cute because he'll be like, whoa, whoa. And then you can also do your voice, but I don't like doing disembodied voice with him because I don't want to confuse him.
Right.
There's already, like, technology already.
Do you do a fake voice with Lenny? So Lenny doesn't,
Andrew
like, get
Luck.
Mad at you? Yeah. Like, maybe you develop a voice like a robot voice.
But I don't want him to fall in love with the voice like Joaquin Phoenix and her. Like, if that voice was giving him treats, I feel like it would create, like, a sort of complication in his mind.
What's his question?
You want him to ask you a question?
I want Lenny's question. I listened to the pod, actually. I was lying earlier.
Too, yeah.
So I want I've been waiting for the Lenny question.
It's in the background.
This was a recent thing. When I joined, Lenny wasn't asking questions.
Do you think I should get rid of it because it's divisive?
Well, for those who haven't heard it and are just tuning in because of the Levitard and Friends rub,
Aye.
Go ahead and do it.
Do you want a question for, like, one of you guys in particular or for the whole group?
It's up to Lenny. I mean, it's Lenny's question.
Yeah, it's up to Lenny.
We'd really like to get over with it.
I mean, you requested the question.
Yeah, let's just hurry.
All right. Mike, why are you so grumpy today?
That was the question.
Why am I grumpy today?
It was the dog's question.
Mike, why do you change your hair so much? What are you compensating for? And why do you love the attention?
Wow, interesting question.
Wow.
Lenny.
Lenny. Wow.
Lenny. Wow.
Wow.
Mike, how's your football
club? Oh, boy.
Ooh.
God, Lenny, hold it together, man.
Lenny, you okay?
I think that was a shot at Chelsea for losing 6-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right now, you're Tottenham.
Lenny.
Fan.
Football club. I know you're a supporter of a losing club.
And they lost 6-0. Well, it was really nice talking to you, Lenny. And, yeah, I think you should ditch the bit.
What?
Whoa!
Do you ever answer Lenny? Do you ever call Lenny Len?
Yeah, all the time. I have, like, a million nicknames. You saw that.
What about Leonard?
Yeah, we call him Leonard. Leonard. Bomani calls him Leonardo.
Ah.
What do you do when you're mad at Lenny? What's the angry name?
I'm mad at Lenny.
Say his full name.
Not all Len is a nickname I came up with. Like, not all men.
He has a middle name?
Lentendo 64 is another name I call him. Yeah, that's a good one.
My sister's dog's name is Minnie, and sometimes we call her Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You ever go with Lenny and the Jets?
Names
yeah, we do. Yeah. Lenny and the Jets. Yeah. I do a lot of, like, songs, and I'll just sub in his name, like, thank you, Len. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I wish I wasn't revealing this. That's the number one thing, by the way, that I hate about myself, that I end up revealing things in these kinds of situations.
At least you told that Clay Travis story.
Yeah. Good.
All right, guys, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. Some really great talk, some good X's and O's, some quality football chat with my chums. Hopefully you guys come on again. Yeah.